Thank you, Ms. Nalene. Beautiful. So here we are. We are in our third week of this series called Getting Down to Busyness. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you like being busy. Come on. I know some of you do. It's okay. Yeah. Claim it. All right. Now you can all leave. I'm just kidding. All right. So we are getting down to busyness, and we've been talking about what it looks like to have Sabbath in our lives, what it looks like to actually get back to this ancient command, this ancient rhythm of life, and we've had to admit a few things along the way to get to where we are today. Now, number one, we had to admit a little bit on that first week that busyness is killing us. That it is a disease, that it is something that begins to eat up our lives, that it is a social currency, and some we would rather somebody call us busy. I don't even know where I was going with that sentence. I mean to inverse it. It's an insult if somebody says we're not busy, right? If I say, hey, give so-and-so a call, they're not busy, I'm sure they can take care of that. It's an insult to the very substance of our being. We feel like our character is insulted, and it gives us a point that this understanding of busyness, whether it's with work, whether it's with task, whatever it may be, that it's a part of our identity, it's a part of our character, it's a part of who we see ourselves as and who we want to be seen as, is something that is absolutely necessary to our selfish understanding of who we are. And that God, for all this time, has had this idea of rest and Sabbath built into the rhythm of creation, but we have, for the most part, denied it until we crash into that wall and we have to stop for whatever reason it may be. You see, we talked about this the first week, but we've embraced the work ethic of the fall as if it was supposed to be the way a kingdom of God was always supposed to be. You see, the world was fractured. Our relationship with God and creation and with each other was all fractured, and God tells us this truth. It's not an order, it's a truth about the way that the world will be, that the ground will fight against us, that it will take the sweat of our face to eke out a living, and we have embraced that as if that is the very character of God. We have embraced that as if that is exactly who we are supposed to be, and we have forgotten about what the relationship and the life in the garden and in the kingdom could have always been meant to be. And I think that God's call to Sabbath is a call for us to get back to that on a regular basis, is a call for us to weekly go back to the garden, is a call for us to weekly go to whatever we understand heaven is going to be, and we help this world become that kind of place. But if we're honest, and this is what we've worked through the second week, we really just kind of dismiss that because it's not possible. It's just not possible for me to take a Sabbath rest. It's just not, I'm too busy. I got too much going on. It's the kids. I mean, I make this excuse all the time. It's the kids. It's all this stuff we got going. Well, I mean, this week will be different. This week it's packed, but next week it'll probably be fine. Well, guess what? Next week is packed too. That's just the way that it is. You just don't know it is yet because you hadn't looked at your calendar. You didn't get past Thursday or Wednesday or whatever day it may be, right? We have this terminal busyness. And that's whether we're retired, that's whether we're young and working, whether we have kids or we don't. So this doesn't dismiss any groups. We all find ourselves stretched to our limit, and then we wonder why. And the challenge that God has been issuing since the beginning of time is, I rested. And whether you want to say God had to rest or not, God chose to rest. And then God gave us the same command. But yet, sometimes we don't choose to until it's too late. Last week we talked about how Sabbath is the cure for busyness, that it is a bridge to the holy, that if we have Sabbath, we are never more than a few days from a holy day. That we begin to get back to the sacred rhythm that this world was literally, quite literally, built upon. That we get away from a 24/7 notifications and activities and all of it, and we get back to a place where we can commune with God, with creation, and with each other the way that it was supposed to be. Now, just a few weeks ago, I spent my Sabbath dreaming about something. What do you do on your Sabbath? If you were going to take one, what are some of the things you might do on a Sabbath day? You're like, I don't know, I can't take one, so don't think about it. Sleep. I got some sleep down here. Do a jigsaw puzzle. That sounds like torture. Yeah. I'm glad that it's good for you. I really am. That's worse than going to work. Yeah. Read. What else? Football. That's good. Travis, painting. I'll go ahead and say one for you. Yeah. What? Go to the beach. Absolutely. All right, I'm going to tell you what I did just a few weeks ago. I spent a whole day imagining what life would be like if I had won the Mega Millions. Now, look, don't get mad at me. Don't write me an email. I'm not going to read them anyway for a little while. Okay? They cast lots in the Bible. It's called the lottery. No? Okay. All right. Here we go. Thanks for laughing, just for, you know, just for fun. So, but in all seriousness, I sat around dreaming about what I would do if I had $1 billion, right? And I have a question for you. If you want to shout it out, you can. But what if you had $1 billion? What if you just checked your ATM today and you had $1 billion? You didn't have to work anymore. Everything you ever needed would be provided for your health, for your family, for generations to come, whatever it was. What would you do with your time? What? What? Somebody say climb trees? Palm trees. Okay. All right. Just like palming them? Like I'm just kidding. Travel? What? Travel? Yeah? Anybody else? Work for Samaritan's Purse? Do jigsaw puzzles? Hardy har, Larry. Yeah. Upside down jigsaw puzzle? Donate the money to good causes. You can, a life of philanthropy. Fill more shoeboxes. What else? What would you do if you had $1 billion? Invest. Yeah, index funds all the way, living off the proceeds. That's right. 100%, 51% away on this, and I got, you know, diversify, but we're good. Probably be miserable. Yeah, everybody who wins the lottery seems pretty miserable. They make entire TV shows and stuff about it. But, of course, I would be the exception. You would too, Frank. Yeah. So what would that look like? Yeah, I want you to notice something here, okay? Okay? None of you said go back to work. Right? None of you said go back to work. I'm not saying you don't like your job. I'm not saying you don't like the people. But none of you said that. None of you were like, you know what? I'm going to dedicate the rest of my working hours of my life to somebody else's profit. Right? You didn't say that. But time after time after time, when we ask, why is it that you don't Sabbath? It's because of work. Now, you may be retired now. Maybe work's not in your future. But you also didn't say you'd go back to work. Right? You weren't like, I go back to whatever it was. You might go back to an aspect of that. Now, I will plant this, because this is a part of what happens for me, is I begin to go through the idea of what I would do if I could do whatever I wanted, right? If you didn't have to worry about bills or whatever was happening. I begin to walk through this progression, and here's how kind of the progression goes for me, naming it all. I begin to think about dreamy stuff, like huge vacations and what I might buy, and how then it gets to like how I might help people. Then it gets to like what I would do for my family and what I would do with this. But then eventually I get to a place where I have to employ myself in doing something. And I don't mean like a job, but I mean I've got to do something where I actually do something and not just my money do something. And I come back all to this place of where I'd be back. Now, I might be back differently. I might deal with certain things and not with others. I might have the luxury of coming and going or whatever it is, right? But I get back to this core purpose of what it means to love God and to love people and to make this world a better place. It gets back to the heart of who we are and the heart of who God is. We get back to what's truly important. You see, we don't really go to work for God. You know, when you get up in the morning, we might read that scripture that says, do everything as if you're doing it for the Lord, and you're like, that's what I'm doing. But the honest truth is that we didn't take that job because of God, most likely, sometimes. We do it for us, to provide for our families, to do what's necessary. But then we let it stand in the way of who God is calling us to be. And there's all kinds of decisions that go into that. I want to read from you from Luke chapter 6 this morning. Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. One Sabbath, as Jesus was going through the wheat fields, his disciples were picking up the heads of wheat, rubbing them in their hands, and eating them. Some Pharisees said, why are you breaking the Sabbath law? Jesus replied, haven't you read what David and his companions did when they were hungry? He broke the law by going into God's house and eating the bread of the presence, which only the priests can eat. He also gave some of the bread to his companions. Then he said to them, the human one is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I love this. They say, why are you breaking the Sabbath? And Jesus doesn't begin to explain to them why he's breaking the Sabbath. He doesn't begin to say, no, if you're eating, it's okay. He doesn't begin to say, if you're in need, it's okay. He says, do you remember when it was okay for your beloved David to do this? And then he just says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. On another Sabbath, Jesus entered a synagogue to teach. A man was there whose right hand was withered. The legal experts and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he, being Jesus, would heal on the Sabbath. They were looking for a reason to bring charges against him. Now, I'm going to pause right there for just a second. I find this incredibly significant. So the first thing that kicks off Jesus' ministry is he reads from Isaiah and talks about how he is the Sabbath. Not just Lord of the Sabbath, but he is the Sabbath, and the year of Jubilee is here. The year of forgiving the debts, the year of setting slaves free, the year of doing all this is upon us. I am the Sabbath. And then here, when he's breaking the Sabbath, they're looking to put charges against him. He is the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath. It kicks off his ministry, and ultimately, it will be what leads to his death. Jesus knew their thoughts. So he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. He got up and stood there. Jesus said to the legal experts and the Pharisees, here's a question for you. Is it legal on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it? I mean, that's an easy question. We wouldn't fall trap for that one. Looking around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he did, and his hand was made healthy. They, being the Pharisees, were furious and began talking with each other about what to do with Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Pharisees missed the point. And it's easy for us to look at them with judgment in our eyes and our hearts and be like, I would never make that mistake. I know that on the Sabbath I can do good. I know it's about not about how many grains of wheat that I break and crumple in my hand and eat. I know that it would not be okay to do evil on the Sabbath. But I have a challenge for us. I think we've missed the point too. I think we're a little bit like the early parts of our faith tradition where we took the Sabbath and we just made it a whole bunch of rules and laws, and because we did that, we can't live up to that, so we might as well not even try. Well, what day of the week would it be? Sometimes the church asks me to volunteer. Is that still Sabbath? Well, what if I get called in, but I have a rotating schedule of days on and days off? Well, what if I have a doctor's appointment and I have to drive all the way to the Nashville and it's stressful for me? What does that look like? I just can't do it. I can't have a Sabbath. We talked about just a few weeks ago that none of the other Ten Commandments would we ever dare say we're too busy for. I was so busy I had to commit adultery. I was so busy I had to murder. I was so busy I had to lie. I was so busy I had to disrespect my parents. I was so busy I had to make an idol. I was so busy I had to take the Lord's name in vain. I was so busy I can't Sabbath. That last one makes perfect sense to us. And all the rest of them sound ludicrous. I'm here to tell you that last one about how I'm so busy I can't Sabbath, it sounds just as ludicrous as I was so busy I had to murder. I was so busy I had to commit adultery. I was so busy I had to lie and steal and covet and be disrespectful to my parents and make idols and use the Lord's name in vain. It sounds just as ridiculous as that. We have all kinds of arguments against it. So what I want to encourage us to do, and what we did kind of set up in Sunday school for the next little trajectory for our class that's talking about it, is what are the reasons you would? What are the reasons you would Sabbath? There are a lot of times where we go into a major commitment in our life and we don't weigh quite as well the why I wouldn't. What if somebody came in for premarital counseling and I was like, why shouldn't you get married? I actually do ask that question. And you know what they say? Well, I mean, that's what her dad thinks. Is he right? Like, well, maybe, I don't know. Let's find out. Why shouldn't you have kids? Think about major commitments in your life. But when we think about Sabbath, we start with why we shouldn't. why we can't, why there's no way it's possible. And the number one thing that usually gets in our way is this understanding of work, whether that's employment where we create economic value for ourselves and for others, or whether it's work as in tasks that we get to during the week around our home or whatever it may be. But you see, in Genesis, we see this beautiful understanding of what it looks like, this sacred rhythm with the way that the world was created. In 6 days, there were tasks and things to do. But on the seventh day, there was rest. And even God Almighty chose to rest. But we don't think we need to. We can sustain it. We can do it. I can't take off. We were talking about in class how in the United States especially, but I'm sure it happens other places in the country, we can't even get people to take all their vacation time. And the whole time, they feel guilty about taking it. Right? They get sick and even end up in the hospital and they feel guilty because they're not there doing their jobs and coworkers are having to do it for them. How are we going to Sabbath when that's what's going on in our hearts? Here's how I want us to think about it. Do you remember what it was like when you first started dating? Do you remember that first relationship where you were just Twitter-pated? You know what I'm talking about? Y'all remember that from Bambi. I didn't make that word up. Huh? Do you remember? Do you remember what it felt like? It could have been recently. Could have been a long time ago. Maybe you're still dating and feel Twitter-pated. I don't know. Right? What did... Oh, I just saw some people look at each other real sweet. It, like, upset me. I'm just teasing. What did you do? I'm being serious here. You know, it's live on the internet. But what did it look like today? Do you remember what it looked like? You might have a little bit of a plan, like we're going to go to a restaurant, we're going to go to a movie, we're going to go to the drive-in, we're going to go to the poodle skirt dance. I don't know what it looked like. We've got this thing where we're going to go do this thing. We got kind of parameters, but what you really planned was time together, right? I'm going to pick you up at, insert whatever time it was. I'm going to meet you. Yeah. I'm going to meet you there. And then we're going to be done at X time. And then what always happened to that curfew? You never quite made it, right? Maybe later. Yeah, it depends on how scared you were of that, her dad. Yeah, a lot of times. No, but you spent time together. You didn't have it planned out to the T. Oh man, there were all kinds of things that could have gotten in your way, but I guarantee you, you wouldn't have let them stop you from Friday night at 7. Right? You would not. Nothing was going to stop you. Not what your family thought, not what your job said, not even whether you had money in the bank or gas in the tank. You'd have found a way, right? And then you put this buffer of time there. And then you just spin it together. I doubt you had an agenda. If you did, the relationship probably didn't go well. You just said, how are you doing? What do you like to do? What do you do for fun? What's your family like? Right? And then you learned. And you said, cool. That's super weird, but I'm not going to say it out loud. Because I like you anyway. Right? I can live with that. I can live with that. I can live with that. I love spending time with you. There might have been some deal breakers. Yeah. And then you went on another date with somebody else, I guess. But you had this time. And you just lived in it together. You know what I mean? You just lived it. Now relationships, they grow and they change. And they're not the same as they were back then, necessarily. Maybe they are, and that's wonderful. But they mature and age over time. But here's what I want to kind of give us, at least for a parameter today. There are a million things that could stop you from Sabbath. Absolutely. All kinds of, I'm just going to call them what they are. I'm just going to call them excuses. Don't be mad at me. There's all kinds of excuses, reasons. You may prefer me saying reasons that you can't Sabbath. But what if it was like dating? What if it was about setting aside some time where you and God, you and creation, you and your loved ones, you got to live together like you were still in the garden. You got to live together the way that you want to live together forever, right? That's what I think Sabbath is. Now, we make it about how many steps we take and whether the donkey's in the ditch and whether our neighbor is doing this or that, right? And we have our modern versions of that today. Our irregular schedules, the cows have to be milked, whatever it is. We have our things, and there's always going to be a reason. But for the important things in your life, nothing stands in the way. I've had the benefit of some larger thinking lately. And a great question that somebody asked me was, if you knew you only had this set amount of time, let's just say a week, what would you do? What would you do? Because if you have 100 years, you would live life one way. If you had 1 year, you would live life one way. If you had a month, you'd live it differently than if you had a year, a week, a day, an hour, all the way down the list. We would all do that. It makes total sense. If you just had a week, if we got this week, what would you do? And I thought, I would take my family to a secluded place where it was just going to be us and just have fun. I would just have fun. I'd let American Express figure it out later. Right? We would have a good time together. We would see the sunshine. We would see the sunrise and the sunsets. We would snuggle up in the dark. We would tell stories of old. We would dream about new stories. We would play. We would enjoy some good food. Right? We would spend this time together. We would get out into creation. I probably wouldn't spend it watching TV. Maybe some of it. I do enjoy TV. But this is what we would do. I mean, that's Sabbath. I think that's what it is. If you hit the Powerball, if you just had a week, if you were going to live like the Garden of Eden was here now, or you were in heaven, what would you do? It's not about the rules. It's not about the parameters. It's not about the number of steps or which day it is or whether you get a call or a text. You can figure all that stuff out because for the important things, you figure it out. This is an important thing. What if you were never more than just a few days from something holy? You see, Sabbath is not work. It's a relationship. I want you to hear that. Sabbath is not work. Sabbath is not a task. Sabbath is not a law or a rule. Sabbath is a relationship. A relationship with God. We as a church say we're going to love God. It's a relationship with each other. We as a church say we're going to love people. It's a relationship with creation. We as a church say we're going to make this world a better place. Our slogan is Sabbath. Our creation was Sabbath. Our history was Sabbath. Our Lord is Sabbath. But we've become all about the work and the tasks and the rules and the laws and the why we can't. But the important things in life, we find a way. I know it's hard to stop once a week, and there are some weeks where it might not happen. But if you had a week left, I bet you'd find a way. I bet you wouldn't even have to find it. I bet you would live it. It's possible, my friends. Holy rest and love and care and relationship. Sabbath is greater than work because it's a relationship. Let's pray. Lord, it is unbelievable that you call us to rest. You could call us to do nothing but work all day, every day, and to build and to make and to grow and to do and to everything. But you walk the garden and ask where we are. I like to think you're doing it right now. And we're not there. Because we don't plan in advance. because it's not important, because we're too busy, because we're too ashamed. Lord, help us to find you there. I believe you're waiting. I believe you're calling. And every week, you want to return us to a sacred, holy rest and rhythm of relationship with you, relationship with each other, and relationship with all of your creation. Give us your wisdom. Give us your courage and your strength. Help us find our Sabbath. In your Son's name, we ask for this. Amen.